This is WHCC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number here is 395-1450. We have Kathy as well as this morning, and we also have Bill Bird, and good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Duke.
All right. Kathy, we want to talk about this next successful agent coming in, because Bill is going to be a large part of it.
Absolutely. We are coming up on our May Successful Aging, and it is a little different date. It is the fourth Thursday of the month, so May 22, so mark it on your calendar. And we are going to be talking about a patchwork quilt of gardening ideas. Again, it's going to take place on Thursday, May 22, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Christ Memorial Church, which is at 595 Grasscup Road right here in Holland. The cost is $4, which includes your lunch. You call 820-7482 to register. You bring your $4 to the door the day of the event, and you're going to learn about all kinds of wonderful things about gardening. And Bill Bird is our speaker, and he is a gardening enthusiast, and he came very highly recommended from a number of people that I spoke to and said, if you're going to do a program on gardening, Bill's the guy you have to get. So we are very excited to have you be our presenter this month.
Well, Kathy, I have to tell you, I'm also excited to do it because gardening is a huge part of my life, and I love being able to share just different ideas that I've learned along the way, and I'm looking forward to the presentation.
Great. So we were talking a little bit before we went on the air, and Duke, you said you used to work at a gardening center before you entered your radio, or nursery, before you entered your radio days. So you know a little bit about it, but Bill, I mean, start us out at the beginning. How did you get interested in gardening?
Like many people, my parents and my grandparents were avid gardeners. It happened to be something that really resonated with me. So even as a teenager, I spent a lot of time gardening. When I was in high school, my dad built a small greenhouse for me just so I could just experiment with some things. I was fortunate enough to live on the East Coast, not very far from Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, where Longwood Gardens is located, one of the premier garden spots in the United States. And quite often on the weekends, a friend of mine and I would go there, and if there was a door that said no admittance, it was kind of like
it was a welcome sign?
A welcome sign. And so we discovered places in Longwood Gardens that I'm sure the general public never saw, but it was an inspiration for me, for especially now as I look back over the years for different gardening things I've done.
Great.
Amazing.
There are so many different types of gardening out there, and I know that with Successful Aging, we try to be able to reach people no matter where they're living, in a home that may have a lot of land, in a condo, in a retirement community, that may not have a whole lot of space for them to be able to garden. So can you share a few tips on what we're going to learn about on May 22?
Well, considering the group that will be there, I'll spend some time talking about gardening in a limited amount of space, because I know many people may only have a back patio or perhaps only a balcony to work from. And the key is how much sunlight you get, because in order to grow any kind of vegetables, there has to be at least 6 hours of good sunlight. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll just get a lot of growth but no produce. And we'll talk about how to combine vegetables with flowering plants, not only in containers, but I've enjoyed doing vertical gardening over the past couple of years, which is creating a wall of plants, and that can include herbs or some certain vegetables grow well in that situation. So we'll talk about how you can incorporate those kind of things into a very small space.
So when we talk about vertical gardening, give me just a little bit more of an example of how you do something like that.
Well, vertical gardening is really trendy right now. If you look in a lot of magazines or you are on the internet, you'll notice that even inside new office buildings and stuff, the trend is to have a wall of green. And there are some pretty sophisticated structures that you can purchase to make that happen, with built-in irrigation and that type of thing. But for the home gardener, that's a little impractical. So one of the things that I will probably demonstrate is how to put a pallet garden together. And there are pallets all over the city of Holland that you probably could get for a very small cost. Maybe even somebody might be willing to donate it to you and just give it to you. And the key thing is to make sure that you don't have a pallet that's treated with a chemical base that keeps it from rotting or something. You need natural wood.
And how do you know that?
Usually they're marked if they're treated, or they have a greenish color to them. Sometimes somebody will know that that you buy it from. And for either free or small fee, they'll give them to you. I usually get two pallets, because what you need to do is take one apart, and using the wood that you take off, you make pockets on the frame. You use a little bit of landscape fabric to make a sock kind of planting area that keeps the dirt from running away, but yet still gives room for air to circulate around your roots and stuff. And I'll have one with me at the talk on May 22nd, and it's planted already with herbs and some, of course, flowers, so that you have some color in there. And I'll talk to people about how to make that. It's a great project that you can do in your garage. It doesn't take a lot of extra tools. You just need hammer, maybe screws, and or hammer and nails. And it's a fun thing for people to do.
Well, and it sounds like it would be a fun thing to do if you have grandchildren around and incorporate them into the process to be able to do something connected with them, too.
Right. I'm a real advocate of passing on the love of gardening to the next generation. One of the things that my wife and I do with our grandchildren is we have potatoes that we grow in baskets. There actually is a company that came out with a potato sack this year. I will have that with me at the class. And it's a specifically designed sack that's got drainage in it. And it's dark green, so it absorbs the heat, which potatoes love. And each one of our three grandchildren has a separate sack right now with three different kind of potatoes in it: Red Norlin, German Butterball, and Fingerling. And so it's not a contest, but
when it might be a contest.
When all is said and done at the end of July, we'll take those garden sacks and we'll spread a sheet out on the driveway and turn it over, and the grandkids will be able to harvest their potatoes. And of course, the key then is to immediately take them in and clean them and cook them, because there's nothing like a potato freshly dug out of the garden.
Yeah, that sounds really great. We are potato fans at my house, and so that would be a really great project to do. Would that have to be something that somebody's already started, or is that something that can be started soon yet and still be...
You know, you could still do it after our class on the 22nd, but the most gardeners plant potatoes according to Good Friday. And that has to do with the phase of the moon, and there's a lot of history that goes into that folklore. But, yeah, it's not too late. It's just that your harvest will be a little bit later.
So that does shift during the course of each year. It's not necessarily the same time frame. But, I mean, Good Friday switches around every year.
Right,
so.
And that's because Easter is actually a date that is set according to the phases of the moon.
Okay.
It's the one holiday that we have that's not consistent. It's not like December 25 we celebrate Christmas. The Easter always changes.
And if you have a question for Bill Bird here on our program this morning, you may call us here at 395-1450.
Got so we're talking about our upcoming Successful Aging program. It'll take place on Thursday, May 22, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., a patchwork quilt of gardening ideas. It will take place at Christ Memorial Church at 595 Grasscup Road right here in Holland. The cost is $4, which does include your lunch, and you bring that to the door. Call me at Freedom Village at 820-7482, 820-7482. You'll hear my voice on a recording. Leave your name, the number in your party, and your phone number, and I'll get your reservation off of there. And as always, Successful Aging is in our ninth year now. It's hard to believe we've been doing it for 9 years, and it is a collaborative effort between Freedom Village, Priority Health, Holland Hospital, and Christ Memorial Church to bring great programming around various topics, but they all relate to one of these six keys to successful aging: social, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, purposeful, and physical. And so this month, gardening is a host of those things. It can be spiritual for some people. It's very purposeful as far as trying to create fruit or any kind of vegetables that you can put in there, create some joy. It's good for the spirit. I mean, there are so many different benefits that you get from gardening. What is your favorite thing about gardening?
Whoa,
that's a loaded question.
That's a hard one because I love all of it. Obviously, during the winter when I can't be outside in my yard, I do an awful lot of thinking and planning and dreaming about, you know, things I want to change. And that's one of the beautiful things about gardening is that it is seasonal. So every time summer comes, you get to start all over again. And if you weren't successful with something the year before, you have a chance to try all over again. And I think anybody who is a really honest gardener will tell you that they've had probably just as many failures as they've had successes, and you just learn by experience, and every environment is a little bit different, every growing zone is a little different. So we're fortunate here on the west side of Michigan to be affected by Lake Michigan, which tempers our zone, and we actually are a little bit warmer than what you are in Grand Rapids, and so there are a number of plants you can grow here in Holland that you can't grow 5-10 miles inland.
Sure. Well, and the ground is very different. I grew up in Hudsonville, and it was just all clay, and now I live on the north side of Holland, and it's all sand, and so as you are, as the consistency of what you're trying to plant in changes, it makes a big difference as to what you can do as well. How do you feed the soil to make it be what you need it to be in order to grow a productive food?
Well, compost, of course, is a key ingredient because it constantly replenishes the nutrients that are in the soil. If you have access to that, it's a wonderful thing to be able to add. If you have access to some processed like cow manure or that kind of thing, it's a wonderful natural thing that you can add into your soil. So if I had my choice, I'd much rather garden in sandy soil than clay soil. Clay soil creates a whole different set of challenges.
Yeah, the drainage one in particular, right?
So it breaks your hole.
It does what?
It breaks your hole.
Yeah, it breaks the hole too, that's for
tough.
Sure.
Right.
It makes it really hard to get through. So what kinds of things should we be looking at maybe planting now? I mean, if we're talking about outside, and then maybe if we're talking about container gardening, we talked about potatoes being planted typically on Good Friday. What other things can go out now? It's been a very strange weather pattern this winter into spring. So
right, and there are a number of lettuces that already you can be eating. Your kale can be outside now because kale is a cold tolerant plant in terms of vegetables. Your peas probably should be in the ground by now. My wife and I try and get ours in by St. Patrick's Day, March 17th.
Wow, that's
and
early.
It is.
Could you actually reach the ground this year?
I could not reach the ground. But my wife took a picture of me at the end of March. It was about 2 weeks later, and the wire area that is by the peas absorbs some sunlight and heat. So actually right at the ground level where I needed to plant my peas, there was no snow.
All right.
But 6 inches away from it, it was snowpack. And my wife has pictured me digging through the soil, planting my peas and
excavating snow.
excavating snow, right. It was unbelievable. But we all know it was a winter that we don't get very often. So it was you'd have to find humor in it.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, that's true. So what else can be in the ground now?
I think one of the things that we see here in Holland is we have these marvelous containers all along Main Street, and they're great examples of flowers that can be outside right now. The city of Holland does a wonderful job of putting that display on for us. And I would just encourage homeowners to realize that they can do the same thing at home. there are one of the unsung heroes of spring is a plant that's called a ranunculus. It actually grows from a corm. It's a little tricky to grow yourself, but they're very inexpensive. You can pick them up at garden centers, and my ranunculus have been outside for 2 weeks now, despite the cold mornings we've had and the light frost, in combination with pansies and lettuce and early spring bulbs that I've raised in pots, and you kind of move around and you can create a marvelous little mixture of those things. And a lot of people think they have to wait until the typical summer flowers are available mm-hmm. before they can decorate their area around their house. And in our home, we have an area fairly close to the house where we begin our gardening. And then as the season moves on, that area expands further and further into the total yard. And then at the end of the season, as we begin to, get shorter days, then everything starts to shut down. But we start pulling the barriers back in. And the final thing that we have is right by our front door is a fall display with the typical winter kale and mums and fall asters and that kind of thing that you really want to view close up. And so it narrows down, and then, of course, it comes to a climax at Thanksgiving. And fortunately, we have the yard recycling that has one more pickup the day
right after
Thanksgiving. And all my pumpkins and all those kind of things that I can't put in my compost pile, or I don't have room for in my compost pile, go in there, and then we're ready for winter.
Yeah. That's great. I mean, you want to make the most of what you have, and it sounds like that you absolutely take advantage of the opportunity when the weather allows you to
right.
continue to expand the beauty of the gardening that you can do.
Right.
So,
and the great news is that you don't have to have a huge yard to do all of those things. You can, have a very small space, even if it's just a tiny little garden outside your front door. And that's your area. A lot of people are very busy with their lives, working, taking care of children. And so you want to find a way to garden that fits into your schedule so that you can maintain it and not feel overwhelmed by it.
All right. Continue with your discussion there.
Now, we have some problems with animals in our yard. We have deer who like to eat everything that we plant, and we've tried gardens multiple times over, and it's a struggle. So what kind of recommendations do you have if those are the kinds of struggles you have?
Well, I think that you have to pick your battles, and you realize that if you are going to put a gourmet palette of food out there for your deer to eat, you're going to have to do the work to keep them at bay from that. Or you can go the route of finding plants that are deer resistant and that deer do not like to eat. There is anything that's in the narcissus family, so all your daffodils and jonquils, all those kind of things, are deer just, there's something in them that the deer don't like. So you could have, if you have a woodland area or whatever, that's a perfect thing to plant,
right?
Because the deer just simply, avoid those things. I'm not sure if you know what fritillaria are.
I don't.
They are known as the crown lily. And they're beautiful. They get about 3 foot high, and at the top there's this kind of crown of beautiful either yellow, red, reddish, or orange flowers. And they're the same kind of thing. They have an odor to them, and not only deer but ground squirrels and all those kind of little critters, they just leave them completely alone. So if you visit a garden center, they will be able to point and shoot you to plants that are deer resistant, and it's probably the easiest way to get by with that. If you decide that you want to do vegetable gardening or that kind of thing, my suggestion is that you simply have a fenced-in area that is high enough so the deer can't get in. That's probably the easiest way to do it.
So with container gardening, we've tried to pull some containers on our deck then to try to prevent some of that, which has been somewhat helpful. But we've also tried those upside-down tomato things that mm-hmm. they say and have not had any success with that. What are your thoughts on those?
I personally have never grown an upside down tomato.
Okay.
I just think it's so easy to grow a tomato in a pot.
A right side up tomato?
A right side up tomato. Why would you want to grow one upside down? But, you know, maybe it's the novelty of it.
Right.
I have a feeling that one of the key things that you need to do with any plant, especially like a tomato or whatever, is just to make sure things never dry out. And you're really asking for trouble by having something sit out in the dead hot sun that needs to stay moist, but is some kind of a plastic container or whatever it is that's made out. It absorbs the heat, and if a tomato plant dries out, you know, once or twice, it's going to set it back so far. So, that's one I avoid.
What kind of pots do you think are the best to use? I mean, you just talked about the plastic pots. I mean, there are all kinds of containers that are out there.
There are. And, you know, we could have a fairly long discussion on that because each type of container is really great for a certain situation. If I'm a dad and I work 40 to 50 hours a week, I have limited amount of time to garden, but yet I want to garden in containers, I probably would pick either a glazed container or a plastic one or a foam one, simply because they don't dry out as quickly. My personal favorite is terracotta. Mm-hmm. I like it because it breathes with your plant, and the downfall of it is that it also loses moisture quicker. So it's something that you have to either make sure you have on a drip system, or you are able to, you know, take care of on a daily basis. At our house, I water every morning by hand, some of it with a hose, some of it with watering cans. But my favorite is terracotta. I just really like.
I did not realize that terracotta lost the moisture faster than some of those others. I would have thought the opposite, but not, huh?
No. Terracotta is a clay, and even though it's fired, it actually breathes. And so, your plants dry out faster in terracotta pots than they do in plastic.
So when you are doing your presentation for Successful Aging on Thursday, May 22 at Christ Memorial Church from 11:30 to 1, we're going to see a lot of examples of what you're talking about today, right? What are you going to be bringing with you? You talked about the vertical wall.
Right. And I actually will bring some materials with me that are suitable for container gardening for small spaces. I have a PowerPoint that I will use to demonstrate some of the things I talk about. I'll put together a container for people so they can see what I do with it. People are almost afraid to put a container together because they think plants are so fragile.
Right. I might do it wrong.
Right,
I think
right.
That comes up a lot. I'll put it together and it won't look good.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you just have to be, fearless. You just have to go for it. Plants are really forgiving, and I think people will be amazed at what they see me do with a plant before it goes into a pot, because you kind of, most people think they have to handle it with kid gloves, and absolutely contrary to that, you don't. And plants benefit from having their soil messed up a little bit and the roots messed up a little bit, that encourages them to grow better.
So we're gonna see a PowerPoint. We're gonna see you put some things together. We're
right.
gonna see the vertical wall. What else?
We'll have some time for question and answers if anybody has something that they would like to. And I'll be sticking around for a while, so if people want to talk to me on a one-to-one basis afterwards, I'll gladly do that. I'll make people aware of some of the new products that are out there on the market. There's actually a thing that's called pelted seeds. Then anybody who's ever planted lettuce before realizes that it's pretty difficult to actually plant a row of lettuce because we all end up planting it too thick. And then it comes up like, you know, so close together it doesn't really have a chance to grow. And so if you buy pelted lettuce seed, you actually have a better control over the spacing of your plants. And I'll just give some examples of that and tell people where they can get it. And that
and then how to put both flowers and vegetables in pots together, right?
Right. I'm a firm believer that every vegetable garden has to have some kind of flowers with it just to add some color and just some variety.
And that's especially great for container gardening as you take a look at your space. And if you want both, you can certainly put those together. And then you're also going to talk about some gardens in the area?
Yes. Yeah. I have a few favorite spots that are open to the public that I love to visit. And I'm not sure that everybody's necessarily aware of where those little jewels are. So
Bill has a whole lot of great information that he's going to share with us. So join us on Thursday, May 22, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Christ Memorial Church. The cost is $4, which includes your lunch. Call me at 820-7482, 820-7482 to make your reservation. We do want to say a quick thank you to Oak Crest Communities of Holland for being our lunch sponsor for the day. And, of course, to Bill Bird, who is going to be our presenter, who is has a bushels full of knowledge on gardening, maybe we should say. And if you have questions or ideas or containers you want him to take a look at, bring them along, and he'll help you out.
We're out of time.
Sounds great.